There are armed conflicts, civil wars, insurgencies, invasions all over the world. In Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Nigeria, Ukraine, South Sudan, Gaza, Somalia, Yemen, everywhere you look, the world is at war. I'm Anne Strainchamps. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge, and today, why? Nobody wants war. War is hell. And yet, as a species, we seem incapable of pulling off lasting peace. So maybe, just maybe, the issue is not what's wrong with war, but what's right with it. Because it must be doing something for us. That sounds like a terrible thing to say, doesn't it? And yet, political scientist Benjamin Ginsberg argues that war does have clear benefits. We just don't want to admit it. He makes the claim in a new book with a provocative title, The Worth of War.
People are not happy to hear about war in anything but the most negative light, but let me say that I wrote this book in response to a bumper sticker. I got tired of seeing that bumper sticker we all see, war is not the answer. And I said, look, it depends on what the question is. And war is often the answer to the most important questions of political life, statehood, territoriality, power. What states exist and what states don't exist is nearly always decided by war. Every contemporary state is the product of war and violence, for better or worse.
You're not saying that's a good thing, are you?
I'm not saying it's a good thing. I am a proponent of being realistic. And the real world is not what we would like it to be. In the real world, war and violence are the normal state of affairs. And to try to deny that, to engage in wishful thinking, is dangerous. So when I call the book The Worth of War, it was designed to make people stop and become annoyed and see what it was that I had to say.
When you say the worth of war, it sounds as though you're saying there are cases in which it's worth people dying. And the thing is, that's how most wars start, right? People feel that there is some central issue so important, so overwhelming that it's worth a lot of people dying for. And then the whole thing turns into a slaughter. You know, there's trench warfare, or there are atomic bombs or napalm or mass rape or hospitals are bombed. And it just seems wrong to say, yeah, but, you know, think of the benefits.
You know, the emphasis that I give in the opening chapter of the book, I borrow from Thucydides, the great Greek historian, the chronicler of the Peloponnesian Wars. Thucydides said war is a stern teacher. And what does it teach? It teaches people to think clearly, to think rationally. That seems to fly in the face of our own idea of war as irrational, horrible, you know,
driven by emotion.
Driven by emotion. But Thucydides said that those unable to think rationally, those unable to think logically, those who base their lives on delusion, they will not survive the audit of warfare.
I don't know, Ben. That suggests that we've had so many wars, then you'd think human beings would be getting smarter and smarter. You know, I mean, look at the Middle East. I don't think you can argue that we're getting smarter.
Well, to some extent, we are smarter and smarter.
How?
I'm not saying civilization might not have advanced with that war. But in point of fact, war has been a great force advancing civilization. As I mentioned, much of the technology we use was developed as a result of military needs. Now, you know, war doesn't advance basic science, but it certainly advances the application of science to human endeavors. Everywhere you look around, microwaves, jet aircraft, nuclear technology, chemical technology, all of this was advanced as a result of military needs. You know, your peaceful city planner has as his ancestor or her ancestor a military planner.
So are you saying that the origin of the state, in some ways, the origin of the nation, is in war?
Well, of course it is. That's what states are for.
To make war?
To make war. That's what they do. I think that's the only thing they do well.
I thought they were there to provide for their citizens.
Well, they are. The first goal is to protect their citizens. You know, states are a kind of protection racket. You pay taxes in exchange for protection from foreign and domestic foes. The advent of states has been a great culling process in which those that can effectively wage war are still with us, and those that can't wage war are no longer with us. You know, this is a harsh reality. We don't like it. Very often students will say that, sure, it's true that sometimes you need to, protect yourself against evil people, but there are nonviolent means that have proven to be very effective. And they point to Dr. King, to Gandhi. And I like to tell them that nonviolence is a misnomer. Nonviolence is actually better called violence light, because nonviolence...
What?
Violence light. It entails, it's a disruptive form of activity, often designed to incite violence on the part of its opponents. You know, when you think of Dr. Martin Luther King, his most famous and successful protest march, Selma, Alabama. Why was Selma chosen as the target of protest? Well, because the authorities in Selma were known to be quite stupid, and Dr. King could count on them to respond to peaceful protesters with violence. And this violence would be used against them.
So you've sort of been, you've been making the case that war is inevitable. Maybe we just think it's inevitable because it always has been. That doesn't mean it will be in the future.
Well, that's correct. We don't know what the future holds. We do know that war has been a main driver of history. And we know that as we look around the world, there are groups and forces and individuals with hostile intent. There are people out there who hate us. It's not that they don't know us well. It's not that, you know, they have some illusions about us. They hate us. That's just a fact. There are people who want what we have. There are people who believe they would benefit if we disappeared from the face of the earth. So I think it's... in my mind, folly to think that war can be banished in this reality. Perhaps there's some other Star Trek reality where everyone is peaceful, but there's no reason to believe that we'll achieve that in the near term.
Benjamin Ginsberg teaches political science at Johns Hopkins. His book is called The Worth of War.